God is good. God is very, very good. And you have to forgive me for getting emotional, but I care about people. And you know, it's really a shame when you have come to an understanding of the truth and you get an opportunity to live life more abundantly. And then there are those people that have not had that opportunity and you try to share it with them and then they walk away. In my friend's case, Hillard, he walked away, but he managed to make it back. Before the Lord called him home. Excuse me. I'd like to take this opportunity now to ask for some testimonies for from Kathleen Falk, actually. I'm getting beside myself. Ms. Falk, if you would come up and address us, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Pastor Grant, for your wonderful, kind, again, invitation for me to join you in your wonderful service and congregation. Again, it's a great honor to be here. Thanks for all you do. Thanks for what this church does in our community every single day. Thank you all for what you do in our community every single day. James, when I first met you now many years ago, and you told me what you visioned, I thought, if he couldn't do it, nobody could. And here you are, 10 years later. How many lives have you saved? And how many lives, in turn, have they saved? The power of what you have done is what I'm here to speak to for just a few moments. How simple and yet how profound. For all of us, is Pastor Grant asked for a showing of hands. If anybody knew of any family that didn't have somebody that suffered from too much alcohol or drugs, there weren't many hands that didn't go up. It is by far too big and common a problem in this great state of ours. If you look at all the statistics of where Wisconsin ranks, we are off the charts in every barometer of our alcohol and drug abuse. It is so common. It is so powerful. It is so deadly. And it is so important we help people try to overcome those addictions. If you look at right now, half of the people sitting in our jail right this very moment are there solely because of too much alcohol or drugs. They're just like you and I. They're no better, no worse. But for the grace of God, any one of us could be sitting there right this moment. And thanks to the grace of God and a whole lot of hard work, the graduates tonight are heroes amongst us and role models amongst us for all the rest of us who suffer, some in this church that haven't been able to go through the KIPP program, but for whom recovery might be starting today or tomorrow or the day after. And that is my message to the young children and us older folks here tonight, is that we are all those truth tellers and models every moment of our lives. I remember, my son is now 31, but I remember once when he was about 8 or 9 and he wasn't listening to me. The only time, of course, in his life he never listened to me. That's a lie, of course. And so what did I do? I was a divorced mom. He wouldn't listen to me. So what did you do? What would anybody do? Call your mother. So I call my mother. Mother, he won't listen to me. Well, of course not. You didn't listen to me. Not helping, Mom. And then she said with her great wisdom, of course, on the other end of the line, it isn't what you tell your son that teaches him what to do. It's how you get up and live your life every day. Oh. And so graduates, young children, us older folks, how we get up and live our life every day gives inspiration and hope to everybody else around us that we can overcome big and difficult things. And that you don't know at any moment of the day who you are influencing. That act of courage, that generous act, that act of kindness, that kick maybe when we needed it, that grace flowing through you to change a friend or a loved one or a neighbor or a community. You don't know when it's happening, but it is. And that's why you are so powerful and important. My own father died of alcoholism when he was 52. He was not so blessed with having another day as the beautiful song we just sang. But all of we are blessed with another day to inspire others to be better, to be good, to be kind. I had an experience not too long ago that just hit me in the head and reminded me of that, of how we don't know when we are influencing people's behavior, except we are all the time. There was a couple of children who I was very fond of, whose mom had a drug dependency, and through the grace of God got into recovery and is doing fabulous. But while she was in recovery, her two children lived with my son and I. But one of her children was older, and he didn't want to live with us. He wanted to be on his own. But I was very worried about him, how he was surviving those weeks. So I tried to find an excuse to have him in my life once in a while so I could just check on him. So I came up with little things like, would you come over and help me wash my windows and things like that. So Saturday morning, he'd knock on the door, and there he was, he was very quiet and very withdrawn and very shy. And that's why I worried about him. And so I was trying to find some way to connect. And there was these birds building this bird's nest outside my kitchen window. So I said to him, Raphael, look at this. These birds are making this nest. Is this cool or what? And he looked at me like I could no more care about this bird nest than anything. And I thought, I'm not connecting here. So the next week he comes back, and now there's eggs in the nest. Raphael, look at these eggs in this nest. Is this cool or what? You don't get to see this very often. And he gives me that look again like, I could so less not care about this nest. What are you not seeing, Kathleen? I do not care about this nest. Well, third week comes by, knock on the door, there he is. And now that the babies are born, can there be anything cuter or fluffier than those little baby birds? No. Raphael, look at these cute, fluffy baby birds. Is there anything cuter? And he looks at me again like, you have not heard me. I am not interested. And I realize now I have completely failed, and I worried about him, and I have not connected, and I just don't know how to do it. So another couple weeks goes by, and there he is at my door, and I answer the door, and he's screaming at me, Kathleen, Kathleen, it's the birds. There they were, hopping around. You don't know, you graduates, the influence you are having on other people who are addicted, the courage you are giving them. We don't know, any of us, by the actions we do when we step out this door tonight, that influence others. But this church and this program are influencing so many. And for that, I am so grateful. We are so blessed. Last weekend, I had the chance to go to Washington, D.C. For a work reason, and I wasn't going to spend my 1 hour of free time without going to the new Martin Luther King monument, which is incredible. And on the monument is carved in this big stone with his caricature, his face, and on this huge granite stone, and it says, out of a mountain of despair, a stone of hope. And that's what you give us, and that's what this program gives us, and that's what church gives us. So thank you for all you do, and let's come back and celebrate another 10 years of success. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a few minutes now to bring some past graduates up that have gone through the program and let them, instead of me or someone else, let them give you their own personal testimony. I would like to also remind everyone here that there is a cake reception afterwards over in the fellowship hall. So please, after the service is over, do stay and come and celebrate with us our 10th anniversary. I would like to remind the graduates that we have about 5 minutes per person. There's a guy over there with a hook. Come and drag. No, not really. Not really. I'd like to ask for Jason Bros to come up first, please.
Thanks, Claude. Praise God, everybody. So Brother Hawk told me I had to keep it within 5 minutes. And I got to thinking, it's been about 7 years I've been coming now. And 5 minutes, I could go on for an hour. There are so many awesome people here that have influenced my life. I got my Heavenly Father to thank. I could go on for days about that. Basically when I started coming, just like everybody else that comes in a CIP, like, man, I get to get out of jail on Sunday, too. Amen, right? Amen. You guys all know what it's about. But then it took me about 7 months before I finally realized what God had for me. And I gave in and I got the Holy Ghost. And praise God. God changed my life. I was in jail for 16 months. I almost lost my mom when I was in jail, and she couldn't be here tonight, but went through a lot of things, but God brought me through it. And then over the past few years, I got to know Pastor Grant more. I've been fellowshipping with Brother Thomas on a regular basis. Roy spent countless hours talking with me. I mean, Brother Hawk, I could go on naming hundreds of people. I mean, we got thousands of people that come to this church, and hundreds of you have impacted my life on a major level. The things you said, the things you said to encourage me. Brother Hawk wanted me to talk about our shopping trip in Chicago. Believe it or not, I used to wear a pink suit. I tamed it down tonight, but among other colors, Audrey was partly to influence that as well. I should take a minute and embarrass Audrey tonight, too. No, I won't do that. But to keep it within 5 minutes, I'll just keep it short. And I just want to thank all of you. I mean, I could go on and on. But, I mean, just if you really want to change your life, this is to the graduates. Just seriously think about where you've been, what you've done, and how you feel right now being in church. Feeling God's presence. I know you do. You can't but not feel it. I tried to argue it for 7 months, but you still feel it, and it's there, and it's real. And letting God into your life is going to change it big time. I've had countless blessings poured out upon me. I'm married. I've got 2 kids. I've got a small business that's very successful in one of the worst economies. I'm in the trades. I'm a general contractor and remodeler. And there's nothing to say but God is on my side. That's it. Praise God.
So I'm pretty nervous right now, actually. First, I would just like to thank God, obviously, for putting the idea of CIP into Brother Pastorella's heart, and I would like to thank him for realizing the idea and the possibilities, and then for bringing it to the Hawks and to this church, because it does, it saves lives. When I met Brother Pastorella in General Conference, I was close to tears when I shook his hand. I was like, this is the guy that came up with the idea that saved my life. I grew up in a house where, I mean, drinking was normal. I mean, when I was 10 years old, I'd be at the bar till 2 o'clock in the morning with my parents. At the age of 13 or 14, I started smoking pot regularly. 15, I was drinking regularly. By the time I was 18, I was taking prescription drugs. Then I started doing cocaine. I got arrested when I was 19 years old, and I had an ounce of cocaine on me, and somehow the Lord blessed me, and they charged me with just a misdemeanor, which, if you know anything about the law, that's a lot less time than a felony for possession. And the Lord tried to bless me again by putting me into a program, which they call the drug court program, where you go through a treatment program and you abide by their rules, and then they let you get off without it on your record and no jail time. But me being in the mind I was still at, I was still stupid and naive, and I decided the drug court was dumb, so I just kept doing what I was doing, got arrested again, and the Lord blessed me once again by only giving me 30 days in jail, which they actually even let me serve on the bracelet. And me being as thick-skulled as I was, I still didn't realize the blessings that, you know, God was trying to give me, and I continued doing what I was doing. So I kept drinking, and then I started taking pills, painkillers. I started snorting painkillers. I started snorting heroin. And it got to the point where, you know, if I didn't have it and I woke up and I didn't have anything, I'd just be in pain all day. I would suffer, and it was just, it's the most miserable thing you could ever imagine. You never want to go through it. And I did that for so long until I got to a point where I got so desperate, I lost my job, I lost my family. I got so desperate where I started stealing. I started stealing from my parents. I started stealing from friends. I started stealing from people I didn't know. I was breaking into houses of, I don't know who they are. I mean, I have their names right now. I'm not allowed to contact them until I'm off probation. I would love to contact them when I'm done to apologize and let them know where I've come right now. And then I finally got arrested again, and this time it was serious. This time they were like, this kid hasn't learned yet. It's time to teach him a real lesson. So they put me in jail for a whole year. I sat in jail for a year, and somewhere throughout that year, some people were telling me about this church here. I was kind of going to Mad City Church with the River Food Pantry at the time, but then they were telling me about this church here, and I was just like Jason said, you mean another couple hours out on Sunday? You bet, man. Let's do it. And I came here. I remember when I first came here, it's overwhelming when you're new. I remember the day I graduated, I think I called you guys crazy. But you know what? I'm just as crazy as you guys now. And now for like the graduates and the current students that are in CIP right now, I mean, all I can tell you is this place, these people, all these people right here, this is the best place you're ever going to find. These are the best people you're ever going to find. This is the best God you're ever going to get, the only God you're going to get. If you guys just take anything from what you've learned here, just let go of what you're doing. Whatever you're doing obviously hasn't worked. It didn't work for me. It's not going to work for you. It won't work for anybody. So whatever you're doing, just stop doing it and give it up there. That's the best thing I can say.
there was one thing that I forgot, and I don't want to overlook anyone. In the process of creating this video, I meant to have a picture of Sam Thornton. He was one of the teachers, and it wasn't included in there. So I would like for Sam to stand up and acknowledge him. He's one of our teachers. Sam? Stand up, Sam. Okay. Thank you. Next, we would like to call Samantha Mallon up, please.
Now, see, I came prepared. I knew I was going to be nervous. So I had to write everything down. And as I sat up here and I was listening to everybody, I realized I left out a whole lot of key points. And I'm not even sure now I could even read what I have on here. But I'm going to try, and I'm not going to try to get too far off track. And I'm going to try to stay within my 5 minutes. Okay. So this is what I wrote. I said, somebody just look back over your life and see where he brought you from. How many of you know that prayer changes things? See, prayer changed my life. It got me to this point to where I'm at. I remember I was about getting ready to turn 30 years old, and I remember thinking, this is not who God created me to be. This is not who I'm supposed to be. See, I was knee-deep in living a life that I knew wasn't pleasing to God. It wasn't pleasing to my mother. It wasn't pleasing for my children. It wasn't even pleasing to me. I was selling drugs. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was doing things that I knew God didn't appreciate. I didn't even like myself for doing some of the things that I needed to do, but I had justified it by the means of saying I had to take care of my children, and by any means necessary, I was going to do that. So I remember as my 30th birthday was getting closer and closer, and I was sitting there, and I laid in bed one night, and I prayed, and I asked God, I said, God, you know me better than I know myself, and for the first time, I was honest. I said, I need for you to change this for me. I need for you to make it so that I can't justify my actions no more. I need for you to make sure that whatever you do, make sure that I can't undo it. So what he did, so about a month later, I got arrested. Now, most people... most people would say, now, how are you going to be happy about that? But I complained a little bit, but I knew deep down underneath that that was God answering my prayer. And at the same time, R. Kelly came out with his gospel CD. So I started listening to R. Kelly. I'm on my way to the bar. I knew I wasn't supposed to be going, but I was going. And I was listening to R. Kelly on my way, saying prayer changes things. So I'm getting in the bar, and now I'm drinking, and I ain't even getting drunk. And I'm like, okay, now something needs to change. So I winded up, after a while, I winded up in jail. Or before I went to jail, I was in court, and the DA said to me, he says, Miss Green needs to be, they were trying to give me, first they tried to give me 3. Then the DA was like, no, I think she needs 5. What Miss Green doesn't realize is that she's impacting her children. Her children are going to grow up and be drug dealers too. And I'm sitting there thinking, you don't know my kids and you don't know who I am. And that's not who I'm raising them to be. No. And then I realized he's true. He's right. So this is what I'm teaching them. And I have to change this. So when I winded up in jail, Huber, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, whew, I don't know how I'm going to do this one. And I looked on the side of the wall, and there was this sign-up sheet for Calvary Gospel. And it said, do you want to come to church? Do you want to change your life? And I'm thinking, I don't know. But everybody else was going. So I'm like, I may as well go too. So when I finally got here, I remember I was sitting like right where Jan is right now. And I was sitting there and I'm thinking, I feel like I'm in one of those commercials or those TV shows, you know, the ones that when you wake up in the middle of the night and you done left the TV on and you can see people praising. I was like, I don't know about this right here. But what it did do for me is I said, they love God. They started to show, you guys started to show me the direction that this is what you get when you, and by the way, that was the first scripture that kind of stuck in my head. Seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. Something like that. And I remember, I said, you guys started me on that. You were praising God. You were loving God. You were showing him that you were grateful for the things that he had done. I didn't know how to do that. I get my shot on in the car on the way to work, so I can't. But what I wanted to say is I'm thankful for this program. I'm thankful for this church. You have done so many things that you just have no idea. You have changed so many lives. Just because you don't see everybody coming back here every Sunday doesn't mean that we're not in church. We're in somebody's church. We're impacting somebody's lives. We are doing things differently because of the simple fact that we stepped our foot in this door. And I want to thank all of you for opening your hearts and for allowing and not judging us by what we looked like when we first came in here. And thank you, James, for not having a picture of me up there. But you guys are, I want to thank you for allowing God to use you and for being obedient and for allowing us to come in here and get cleaned up. And I want to thank you, James and Audrey, because they are my spiritual parents. They welcomed me into their home and they showed me what love was really like. And my other mother, now I have three mothers, and my other mother, Sister Evelyn and Putin, they kept it real with me and their families because they allowed us to come in. And there was no hesitation. They just loved us for who we were. So this program, I will always be a part of it. And I thank you guys so much for everything you have done. And I know I went over my 5 minutes, and I haven't even looked at my tablet. So I'm going to sit down now.
The one thing Samantha didn't tell you was that she, after completing this program, she went on to MATC and got her associate degree, and she's going on now for her college degree. Hallelujah. Mark, where are you? I thought I just saw him. Oh, there you are. Come on up, Mark.
Hallelujah. First, I got to give thanks to Jesus Christ. So, first and foremost, he saved me and a wonderful group of pastors, a man with a vision, and a church that was willing to back him up. You know, when I was asked to give my testimony, I thought I just gave my testimony, I don't know, a few months ago. And so I just prayed about it, and God said, we'll give you a new testimony. Like, okay, my new testimony. And here it is. For those who hadn't heard it, I grew up not knowing God, so I basically let ignorance take its course. At 12 years old, I started selling and doing drugs, 15 alcohol. Many other sinful things, sinful acts beyond that as I got older. To kind of fast forward through all that, it's just a lot of junk. But I came to a point in my life where I didn't want to continue living, but I didn't want to die either. I know some of you have felt that before, where it's just, you know, you couldn't stand the person you saw in the mirror. That's where I was at. My family despised me. I didn't have any friends. I was just rock bottom, just low of the low. January 20th, 2009, the day before I was facing sentencing, It was the first real time I actually prayed to God and asked him to just to help me. It was just a simple prayer. Just, God, if you're real, just get me out of this. Just please get me out of this, and I'll give my life to you. And I meant it. And like I said, my daughter was on the verge of living her first few years of life without her dad. Just horrible things that I had been through. And the Lord blessed me. He blessed me immediately that next day. And from then to now, there's been a few bumps in the road. But praise God, I do everything that I can to try and live obedient to his word and his voice every day. I mean, nobody's perfect, but we just got to get back up and keep going. And that brings me to my second testimony of, you know, when you start living for God, it becomes addictive. It becomes to the point where you wake up and you're, oh, I get to pray today. And what you're seeing, Brother Thomas used to tell me that, and I didn't get it at first. And he's like, it'll come to you. And I need some of this, Pastor. Thank you. Praise God. But so it got to the point where, you know, God is just so addictive. You know, there's a scripture when I was thinking about what to say, I was like, Lord, you know, what should I? I already gave my testimony. And Luke 12:48, it says, for unto whomsoever much is given, so shall much be required. So to he much shall be required. And I thought, okay, what, you know, what are you trying to say, Lord? And the point is, everybody is given much. Everybody in this room tonight, in this congregation, you're given something. Even if you're the newest member here and this is your first time here, you're given an opportunity to have your sins washed away, to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But much is required also. Old habits, they have to be broken. Old friends, sometimes they got to go. Sometimes family can be your worst enemy. I know it's hard. It sucks hearing that, but this is coming from personal experience too. You know, these are weights that sometimes they just need to be loosed, and you got to get them off. And that's where the Lord was just telling me, like, just tell him where you're at. Tell him where you're at. You know, I love the Lord and I fear the Lord. And I noticed something that I had to deal with was getting rid of the fear of man. Because there's nothing any one of you in here can do to me because I trust in God. There's nothing. And it needs to get inside your heart to realize that once you get done with the CIP program, I mean, my heart was, it was just beating 100 miles an hour. I saw all those pictures and I said, how come I don't see most of those people anymore? You know, I mean, I've been here almost, I don't know, a couple of years. And it's like, where are they going? And not to say that everyone's just falling off or anything, but I've known a good share of people since I've been here that walk away. They walk away from the truth. And I noticed within my life, you let the voices of outside influences, you know, they talk to you for so long. And especially if you weren't raised knowing the truth, you hear lie after lie after lie. And eventually it becomes to the point where, you know, you feel it in your heart. Like Jason said, you're in his presence and you want to lift your hands in worship, but you're, oh, what are they going to think about me? I want to go and dance, but what are they going to? You got to break free of that. There's victory in the house tonight. It's not just for, you know, for CIP graduates. It's for everybody. You can do whatever you want. Just break free and do it. It's your opportunity. So if there's anything that I can say to leave for the CIP graduates and everyone else in the building, it's just choose who you're going to fear. Because as much as the Bible talks about loving the Lord, he talks almost just about as much about fearing him and him only. So make that next step. You know, if it's getting out of your chair during worship, do that. If it's raising your hand during worship, do it. If it's reading your Bible more, if it's praying more, just seek God. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. So, I mean, that's all I have. I thank all of you here. There's been many influences. I love this family. I would do anything for you guys. God bless you.
God is still in the life-changing business. Christina, come on up.
Praise the Lord. What? I am so grateful for this awesome outreach ministry. If you know anything about me, I love outreach. So God just opened my eyes that this is an outreach ministry. And I was like, oh, it is. Oh, okay. That's cool. But this is an awesome ministry. And I thought about giving my testimony. And some of you already know it. And I've been praying about it for about a month. And Sister Hawk asked me. And I've just been praying, God, what do you want me to say? And he's just said, say whatever I tell you to say. So I'm going to go with that. This ministry, it's affected me in a way I didn't think it was going to affect me. I was so hungry for God that I was willing to get into any type of Bible study. 101, CIP, Vicki Leonardson, Mary Capaccio, Sister Manley. I was in a few Bible studies. I came and talked to Pastor Thomas. I was talking to Brother Hop. I mean, I was like 7 Bible studies at one time. But I was so hungry. And the thing about CIP is that it was like almost the beginning of my ministry. I thought it was about me and it was going to help me and be for me. But it turned out that I was talking to other people that I could relate to, that needed someone to talk to, that people I could reach to, that I felt what they felt and I knew what they were going through. So I was able to relate to that. And I didn't see it at first, but then as it just the time went on, I noticed that. And I was just like, God, I didn't put me here to help me. You put me here to help other people. And I think that's so cool because so many times we come to church for ourselves. And nothing wrong with for ourselves, but sometimes I worship hard because I know there's a burden on my heart for somebody in here. I don't know who it is, and I have to worship because I know they need God. And if you don't know how to bring down the presence, I'm going to bring down the presence for you. God is awesome and he's real. I don't believe there's one person in here by chance. I don't believe any of these students that are graduating today. I don't believe you are here because you signed up for church. If you listen to these people that already spoke, they cried out to God and God brought them here. Just like you guys, I've talked to some of you. You cried out to God in whatever form or fashion you cried out. If it was a, Lord, just help me, or a, I'm tired of this, or whatever it was, you cried out to God and he hears the cry of the people and he searched your heart and he will see if you are willing, if he puts the steps in front of you, if you'll do something with it. In my life, I've done a lot of things that probably I won't tell everybody, but I've done a lot of things that most people wouldn't even expect me to be here right now. Most people don't expect me to be a loving, kind, compassionate person. I should be a horrible, miserable, mad, angry woman right now, but I'm not, because God knew my heart. He heard my cry when I was out there, and he brought me here. He heard your cry. He hears your cry, and he brought you here, not because it was cool, not because it was something to do, but because he knew your heart, and he gave you the chance, and he put this opportunity in front of you. That's what God does. He listens to us. So I say this, God heard your cry. You are here because he heard you. You are here because he's trying to direct you. And if you would give him the opportunity, if you've tried everything else, and I've tried everything else, and nothing worked, if you would just give him a try. I know that people think that you have to go in and stop doing everything right away. Don't set yourself up to fail. You come in, and you just come in. God said, Christina, get into a Bible study. I remember going to Sister Thomas. I did not want to go to anybody. I was ready to cry when I was asking her. But he told me before I left these doors, ask her to get into a Bible study. She hooked me up with Brother Thomas. And if you know anything about Brother Thomas, he hooked it up quick. I mean, within 5 minutes, I was in a Bible study Tuesday morning on a Sunday night. He didn't play. But God knows your heart. You know what I mean? And if you're willing to give this a try, and if you're willing to take one step at a time, if it's just going to church, then it's just going to church. If it's just coming Sunday night, then just come Sunday night. Because a month from now, you're going to be coming Sunday morning, Sunday now. 2 months from now, you're going to be coming 3 services. 4 months from now, you're going to be actively involved in something. If you give him a try, because God is good. Amen. Did I do all right?
None of this was scripted. This is coming from people's hearts. And these are the same people that are like you. A lot of people come into this church and they tend to look at us and they see the suits and the nice clothes and the shoes and everything else, we weren't always that. We weren't always that. Praise God. We've got a young man that's going to be coming up next. Noah Strand. Noah came through the CIP program a few years back and didn't make it because he was stuck on stupid. Actually, he was stuck on stupid with super glue. But something changed in this man's life. I have a lot of respect for Noah.
Oh, praise God. And that guy is awesome. Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you, Brother Pastorella, for your vision and you doing the work and you allowing it in your church. And we get to hear all these awesome testimonies. And I just thank God for all of that. And, you know, I'm going to testify. I'm going to tell you about what Jesus can do. I was in and out of jail 10 times, jail 10 times, you know, stuck on stupid. I got a real, I'm Norwegian. I got a real hard head. God's got a bigger drill though. And, you know, Christina, I cried a couple times out. They were short prayers and they were probably full of pride and all right, fine, you know. God, I need help. But I'm mad about it, you know. But, you know, he was hearing them. And, you know, then I got in trouble again and I went to prison. And, you see, now I understand. Today he gave it to me. He's like, you know, I had to take you through all this stuff to get you broke down, to break you down, to bust you up inside so that you can appreciate me, so that you can understand what that cross right there represents and what the blood of Jesus Christ can do for you and the delivering and healing power. You know, when I was in prison, I met James, and through James and his counseling and teaching, I was seeking God. I knew that I needed the Lord. Busted up when I was in that tank again, I thought, this is a dream. Here I am again, and it smells terrible. But I don't know. God broke those chains, and I got saved. I got the Holy Ghost in a prison cell. Hallelujah. That was awesome. That was awesome. And some of you visitors here tonight, you know, somebody asked me, why is everybody so happy? Why is everybody so happy? Because Jesus Christ is here. Jesus Christ is here. Jesus Christ is in these aisles. And delivering power is here, Mark. Delivering power is here. Don't let it have to come to a prison cell before you get the revelation. There's an opportunity tonight in these altars here to give your heart. And you don't have to. God just had to, you know, I had to go to jail. I had to go do all that stuff because I was stubborn. And I went and I did all that stuff. And I thank God for it because it allowed me to be in this ministry and be able to understand and meet people for where they're at and know what they're going through with inside the bars, with inside the gates and stuff. Don't let it get to that. Don't let it get to that. If you're in right now, make it the last time. And it only takes a trip up to this altar to make sure that you make it your last time. That's all I got.
I have asked the question in the past, does anyone, especially graduates, do any of you get a paycheck from Disney, Walt Disney? No? Then stop acting goofy. Evelyn, come on up last.
This is not easy. When I was asked to speak, I'm like, I do not know what I'm going to say. I haven't planned anything. And I just ask the Lord to open up my mouth and the words that comes out be His words. I am grateful to this church and to the pastor and to the program. I came in this church, I think it was around 2003, somewhere along in there, I'm not sure, but it was because my ex-husband at the time, which was my husband after I divorced him, was in the CIP program. His name is Hillard, but everybody called him Put. So, and if you've been in this church long enough, you know who he is. If you've been out in the world, you know who he is. But during the time, we remarried in 2003, and I was going to another church at the present time. And he went for a few Sundays, but he said, I don't like it, so I'm going back to my church. So I came into church with him. And about, this was in 2005, he left the church. Then again, he left in 2007. I divorced him for the second time. And the thing about that is, during those years that we were separated, he was back out on drugs. I don't know exactly what drugs they were, but I know he was back on drugs, and he was dealing drugs. Then he got sick, and as from what he was telling me, he said the time that he was out there, the Lord was talking to him, telling him to come home, but his pride wouldn't let him come. And finally, I think I don't remember exactly when it was, 2009, I had seen him on the south side, and he came up to me, he started talking. He says, I wanted to call you, but I was afraid to talk to you. And I'm like, okay, why you want to talk to me? So he said, well, I'm sick. And we talked about it. I said, well, you know what you need to do, don't you? You know, you need to go to Jesus. And he said, well, I've been talking to him. And he's been telling me to go back to church, but I don't know how to go. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know how to go? You know, you walk in the door. And, you know, well, I can be very sarcastic, anybody. So, anyway. Plus, I was also upset for the simple reason of things that he had already done. I mean, I had forgiven him. But the thing about it is the hurt and the pain was still there. And finally, you know, I prayed about it. And I started back having conversations with him and talking with him about the Lord. And early part of 2010, we got back together. And he came into the church and he says, the Sunday I was getting ready for church, he says, I asked him, are you going to church? He says, well, I'm not sure. He says, are you going? I said, yeah, I'm going to church. He says, well, I'll go if you go, and I don't want to go by myself. So he started back coming to church, and he says, this is where I belong. He said, the Lord told me this is where I was belong, but I was so hard-headed and stubborn that I wanted to be out there on my own. So I say that to say this. When God saves you, you see, he said he would never leave you nor forsake you. You walk away from him. But his arms and his door is wide open, you know. And I say to the graduates and I say to everyone, Jesus is the way. There's no other way. He will hold you. He will keep you. I mean, he will wrap you up just like a pig in a blanket. Nice, warm, and cozy. And I also came through the CIP program. Because I wanted to teach. And I am also a reformed alcoholic, along with some other things. But I could have been in the prison. But it's by the grace of God that he didn't send me there. I shot my first husband with a .38 caliber pistol. It lodged in his shoulder, pretty up in his chest area, pretty close to his heart. They couldn't remove it. It was still there the day he died. And it's been, 15 years ago or something like that. But anyway, to make a long story short, I am grateful to God for not being there. I'm grateful for the thing he's done in my life. And I can continue going on and on, but I only had 5 minutes. But yet, still, I say, seek God.
Thank you, everyone. Well, there you have it. There you have it. You know, a lot of truth has been given tonight. You can take it and you can apply it to your life, or you can go back and do those same old things that haven't worked for you in the past. Well, they guarantee not to work for you in the future. So it's your call. As a message to the church also, if you have heard anything at all tonight through these testimonies that have moved you, we have a training tomorrow night, Monday and Tuesday, for the CIP class. It's a misnomer to believe that CIP is just for people that have alcohol and drug problems or that are in prison. CIP is a life-changing program. Everyone lives. They've talked about statistics. There was a statistic given not too long ago that 85% of American families have been affected by alcohol, drugs, or crime. I don't know who the other 15% are, because just about everyone that I know or look at, someone has been affected by this. Okay. What we do in CIP, it takes certain and special people to do that. And it doesn't mean that anybody else is any less. It's just that our burden is for those to help them. Please, if you have a burden for people, bring them. Come to the CIP class. Learn and bring the people to us. We will do the work. We will do the hard part for you. All you have to do is be there and befriend the people. Be there to make a difference in their life. Let them know that someone cares about them and not looking for anything at all from them for their care and concern. At this time, it is my privilege to bring one of my mentors, one of the three amigos from the miracle in Madison that occurred 11 years ago, Brother Howard Pastorella. He's going to come and bring a message to you.
Thank you. You may be seated. Oh, my goodness. You've heard the best already. There's very little I can add to anything. I'm overwhelmed. I'm inspired. And I've got a greater drive than I've ever had in my life. Because our fellowship does not know what it doesn't know. And I hope I get a good copy of the DVD for tonight, because our fellowship needs to hear what we've heard. And God has granted us the privilege to step into these great lives here that He has done. And I want to give them a hand clap of appreciation. Give the Lord some praise for what they've done.
Praise God.
I was captured by the entire worship of Brother Eddie. and Sister Adriana. Wow. And then the testimonies. Basically, I feel like I'm the bat boy at a Major League Baseball game. All the hitters have already won the game. I'm just picking up the bats after them, you know, that kind of thing. But it's an extreme honor to be at Calvary Gospel Church for its 10th anniversary of the installation of the Christian Intervention Program and the wonderful, wonderful graduation service of those receiving their CIP certificates tonight. An occasion such as this gives cause for celebration. But occasions of anniversaries and graduations are testaments of sacrifice, vision, commitment by leaders such as Pastor John Grant and Sister Grant, Reverend and Mrs. Richard Thomas, Brother James and Sister Audrey Hawk, their CIP staff, and the entire host of leaders and laborers here at Calvary Gospel. Who would have ever imagined what God had planned for this community, Miracle Madison, 10 years ago when the Christian Intervention Program was installed and activated for the purpose of raising the quality of life for the chemically dependent and their families. As I mentioned this morning, Calvary Gospel is the gold standard of all of our CIPs across the nation. As of December 31st, 2010, we're actively partnered with 718 churches across North America. Praise God. We're assisting 58 of these churches with their Christian intervention programs for the chemically dependent and their families. 11,368 men, women, and juveniles have been enrolled in our classes, our CIP classes held in jails, prisons, and work release centers across North America. 2,967 of these students have received their certificates of achievement, and that's a lifetime graduation of 26%, and we thank God for that. But that's from the beginning to now. And God has certainly opened the door. The graduation rate has been accumulating, and I'll read more about that in just a minute. 12,573 CIP students have enrolled in the Christian Intervention Program classes held at church sites just like this one across North America. 5,377, I'm a college grad, so you're going to have to excuse me here. 5,377 of those students have completed the program and have received their certificates of achievement. To illustrate the difference of what I was talking about and the genuine acceptance by the courts and correction agencies over the 19 years, in 2010 alone, there were 614 men and women who graduated from the Christian Intervention Program from enrollment to certificate. That's an 84% graduation rate for our Christian Intervention in 2010 alone. 84%. We thank God for that. Praise God. I believe there are churches across the fellowship who would love to have 614 Jasons and Wills and Samanthas and Marks and Noahs and all the rest. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Because He's working on them. Praise God. Praise God. These higher annual rates show the development of the CIP over the years and the recognition by our courts, prisons, child protective services, and jails and prisons to recognize the effectiveness and the affordability of the Christian Intervention Program in reestablishing individuals to their rightful places in the community and in their own families. Here's an additional statistic we have learned at the Spirit of Freedom Ministries. 60 to 90% of our apostolic congregations already know someone using alcohol and other drugs. And as a church, we need to let them know that through Jesus Christ, alcohol and drugs do not have to be a permanent part of any life. And can we say amen? The success of the program can only be understood by viewing the divine orchestration of church members and court systems and community leadership. We give honor and our heartfelt appreciation to Ms. Kathleen Falk and all others in their recognition of the value of the Christian Intervention Program as a resource for Madison and the surrounding area. Certainly, we want to thank the vast numbers of CFP graduates who put in time to explore the possibility of re-entering productive society in support of family membership. Successful sobriety and hope-filled citizenship are fragile dreams indeed. Their journeys to complete all 20 lessons may have started out as a ticket punch, a condition of probation, or a pre-trial intervention. Yeah, I'll get away from jail for a couple of hours. Started out that way. But then it's my constant hope and prayer that within the pages of the Christian Intervention Program, each student would find the skeleton key of success that unlocks the opportunities and the possibilities not even imagined 5 months earlier. Who would have thought in the years preceding 1972, when alcohol, drugs, pills, pot, anger, anxiety, and abject hopelessness would ever give way to a Christian experience that paved the way to an undergraduate degree in business administration finance, to gainful employment, a wonderful wife and children, an incredible grandson, and 25 years of church involvement, an ordination as a minister of the gospel, and now an elected director of the Spirit of Freedom Ministries in the U.S. and Canada. Before 1972, I needed to be sitting here. I needed a program, but thank God that God arrested me before anybody else had the opportunity. Thank God I'm serving a life sentence for Him. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Praise God. Now with every sunrise, I get up with one thing on my mind. I've got to find another me. I've got to find one more man, one more woman, one more child who is so tired of the devastating life of alcohol and drug use and that they are praying the same prayer I prayed that night when God began to work on me. My prayer was, God, there's got to be something more to life than this. And thank God there was. He sent me somebody with a love of souls. He sent me somebody that looked beneath my long hair, my facial hair, my attitude, my anger, and all the things going on in my life and began to tell me what Jesus Christ had in store through His baptism of the Holy Ghost, through repentance and baptism in Jesus' name. Thank God for that individual. Thank God for all of you that invest your time, your effort, and your treasures into the kingdom of God and into souls like the ones we've seen here and the ones we've seen over the years. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. When I find that individual that is so tired of that life, I get excited because I have great news. Alcohol and drugs does not have to be a permanent part of any life. Our latest statistics from SAMHSA, that's the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration from the federal government, indicate there's 152.4 million individuals from 12 years old and upward using alcohol and illicit drugs. The United States population is currently right now about 310 million. So we're looking at a 50% factor of our population using alcohol and illicit drugs. If this was the congregation, if this was our population, this many would be users as opposed to this many unusing or not using alcohol and drugs. Now, we understand that there's other statistics, but other statistics from a recent study show that 79,000 individuals die each year from alcohol-related causes. A report from MSNBC indicated that over 35,000 individuals die from drug-related causes. These deaths now exceed all traffic-related deaths in the United States each year. Those statistics show us there's so much work to be done. In conclusion, I would like to leave a word of encouragement to our CIP graduates. Embrace life that you were introduced to over 5 months ago. You were created for a purpose. Your gifts, your talents, your abilities have all been God's design. There is nobody else on earth like you, and God wants you to be an agent for change, first in your own life, then those who are within the realm of your influence. Brother, I saw your little daughter. What a reason to do well. And what a reason you have family members that you can touch. Your life, your influence. People are waiting on you to tell them about what life you've now found. Embrace that. We want God to be the influence in your life. They're waiting to hear about you. They're waiting to hear that you will lead them as well as yourself to Jesus Christ, who's designed the life for you. I can't wait for the next 10 years to pass to return to Miracle Madison to celebrate your successes. Now, as an encouragement to these graduates and these former graduates, all of the individuals that raised their hand a while ago that were former users of alcohol and drugs, would you please stand? I want the church to look around and see this. This is what God has planned. This God wants you to be part of this loving body of Christ here under this leadership and this community to raise the quality of life for everyone that you have influence over. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Okay. It's all come down to this, the graduates. We used to have graduating classes of 20, 25 people, but things have changed. The economy, a lot of different things. But right now, Jesus said that he would have came to this world even to save one person. Tonight we have two graduates, and we are thankful for those two. Willie Graydon, please, coming up.
You just stand right over here? Okay.
And some of you who know, but if anyone wants to become a teacher within the CIP program, they have to go through the class. We don't allow people just to come in and teach. They have to do the same thing that the students do. So we would like to ask Felicia Pendleton to come. She's going to be a teacher. That's all for you guys. Okay, what we like to do is give the students an opportunity to, please be seated, to address the church. After they have done that, we're going to ask Brother Grant to come and pray for them, and then we would ask the students to step off to the side. I'd like to get a picture with Kathleen Falk and my wife and myself. So, Felicia?
First, I'd like to thank the Lord for bringing us here today, and Pastor Grant. Thank you, Pastor Grant. Brother and Sister Hawk, y'all are awesome. I decided to join CIP thinking, oh yeah, I need a ministry. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I want to help. And God was like, no, you need the help. I was like, dang, God, don't put me on the spot. And you go through these 20 lessons, and it was four of us ladies in the same class. We had different teachers come through, and it's like the first couple of classes, we were all like, no one wants to read, no one wants to talk. We're like, that person I already don't like. That person looks like I'm not going to like them. But you go through the 20 classes and you're like, man, this is good stuff. Like, you don't have to just be drug dependent, alcohol dependent to get something from the class. I've been coming here almost 5 years now, and you learn something every time. And God knew that I needed this, that I was not dependent like on drugs and alcohol at this time, but just on other stuff. And God was like, you want to help people? Let me help you. You can't help unless you're helped. And throughout the course of our class, we've gained some friendships. We're talking about putting hair feathers in your hair today and some having parties. I'm like, oh, wow, look at this. We're chilling out. And it gives you an appreciation for your life, because you're like, man, I could be in such a worse position right now. But glory to God that I'm not. I just want to thank the teachers. We had Christina taught us, Noah taught us, Sister Hawk, Brother Hawk, all the teachers. You don't know exactly how much you're affecting them until like people are like, oh, thank you, and they're crying, and I'm really not going to cry because I don't like to. But it's just such an awesome place. Like, I've made new friendships. I'm like, who would have thought I'd be hanging out with Mike Evans? Like, we chill and we talk in the vestibule. Like, who thought, like, I'd be talking to Mike? Like, really? Like, I don't know. It's just... He's not in here. But, yeah, that's all I have to say. It's a great program. Come tomorrow. Come Tuesday. Experience it. I mean, we all need help, and we all need to help, so why not join the program, right?
I just want to thank the church. You know, they embraced me with open arms, being so nice, Sister Audrey, Brother Hawk. I don't know if a lot of y'all know, you know, I've been running the streets majority of my life. The streets is real addictive. And the situation that I'm in now, it's not a bad situation because I made it a better situation than what it is. I'm in college right now. And pretty much, I'm just, you know, taking steps to get my life together. It don't happen overnight, you know. So I'm not going to sit up here and just say I'm changed and I'm this and I'm that, but I'm working towards that. So, I got family support. My family been there for me, my auntie, my cousin, my stepdad, my mom, my uncle, even the church, all my family too. I just ask that y'all just continue to pray for me, pray for my family, and just to keep me in y'all heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That's it. Would you stand while we honor them? Then I will pray for them. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You know, there's no doubt about it. We like to worship our Lord here. Such energy when you come into this church. It's unbelievable, the energy. But then there's something else that's so important, and this has to do with our graduates. When we greet our guests, we greet each other, and one of the hardest things to get our people to do, and that is, at the start of the playing of the music, to stop talking and come back to worship. It's not that they don't like to worship, but they love each other. And I'm saying this to our graduates, love the fellowship. You've got a support group here. You've got people that love you, that will stand by you through thick and thin, that will literally go to hell and back for you. I really mean that. They care. We care. And we want to pray God's blessings upon them as they continue to walk in the truth. Would you bow your heads with me? Thank you, God, for these two graduates. And thank you, God, for all of our former graduates. Thank you, God, for our CIP program for the 10 years of existence. I thank you, God, for all the instructors and teachers, the bus drivers, and those who've cooked meals, and the families who've come to support this great cause. I pray, O Lord of heaven, continue to shine upon us and prosper us as we continue, Lord Jesus, to instruct people in the way in which they could go. And to our two graduates, Lord, keep your hand upon them all the days of their life until they walk through the valley of the shadow of death and go into eternity to be in your presence forever. Oh God, be with them and show mercy. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for these graduates. May everything that they put their hands to do that is profitable, may they be prosperous in that endeavor. I pray right now for these two graduates. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Lift your hands and worship the Lord. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And our graduates may be seated or they may find their place back. Now remember, there will be a cake reception for them right after the conclusion of this service. I think that if I stood here and I did not give you an opportunity to come and give your heart to God or see your needs met, then I would be in error. I know that these people who have expressed themselves, they understand their need, but still there are people that walk in that will never go through the CIP program.